Welcome to the C3 Church Watson podcast. Our vision is to connect you to Jesus, grow you as a disciple, and help you serve his purpose. We hope you are blessed by this week's message.
Well, it's so good to be with you, church. You can have a seat. Half of you already have. And why don't we give the band a hand? They always do such an amazing job. Thank you, guys. And I'm going to invite Sarah up. She is going to be sharing who God is for her, who the God she knows is. So, Sarah, over to you.
Okay, Lord, you better be with me right now. Heavenly Father. I say that because the God I know is powerful. And the songs that we were singing, it was just, oh my goodness, did you guys know that that was what I was going to be speaking on? Because the God I know is powerful. I grew up in a church where I learnt about our Father God. A Father I knew that he loved me as a child. I listened and wondered. In my early teenage years, I was often calling out to my Father God, please love me. As my own father was present in person, but very absent emotionally. The wonder of God's love warmed my heart. And Jesus, that beautiful name Jesus, that beautiful person Jesus, became real to me. But we all have struggles, don't we? We journey through them, and sometimes attractions, friends, partying, or being consumed with what we think we need can find us out of church and alone. And that's where I was when a friend took me to a church they went to and I met the Holy Spirit. The power of the Trinity of God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, was revealed to me that day. And my life has changed forever since then. This was the beginning of God showing himself to me in a new way. He showed me his power. And for someone like me who's small in stature, might feel an insignificance, power is something amazing to me. For he is the God of power. At this moment, I also instantly knew that he would never leave me. And I instantly knew that I never wanted to leave him. The God of power I know works miracles. When I call on God's power, he always comes. God is my superhero, and he gives me superpowers of prayer and faith. I have prayed for one of my children and seen the skin on their leg that was broken knit up before my eyes. I've watched a woman I prayed for in a hospital in Africa sit up, smile, gather up her things and leave. But God heals me too. I have experienced healing in my own body, not to mention the countless emotional and mental wounds I've felt being healed in my mind and soul. When the world is spinning around, God's power stills me. When in the natural, things are just not going to work out, God's power gives me clarity to see. When I'm scared, like I was sitting down there preparing for this, God's power fills my soul with peace. When I can't find the words to pray, and that is often, the Holy Spirit gives me a heavenly language that I pray in. When this happens, I'm transported into God's presence. I'm in absolute awe of God's brilliance. God's power continues to transform me, and he will until the day I'm with him in heaven. I am so blessed by God who gives me unconditional love to overcome obstacles and know the authority and power I carry when I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, my Saviour. Thanks.
Amazing. Thank you, Sarah. And God is indeed powerful. Indeed powerful. Well, so good to be here with you, church. If we haven't met before, my name is Tim. I am part of the team. And just a little about me at the moment, where am I in my life stage? I've taken on amateur greenkeeping. So I'm trying to grow some lawn. That's my big adventure at the moment. Thank you. It's tougher than I thought. Well, it's always an honor and a privilege to share the word with you. And this morning we are going to be continuing our series on The God I Know, where we are looking at how we can share our faith through the story about the God that we know. And so throughout this series, we've been encouraged to start to think about our testimony, which is our story. And we've been encouraged to base it around our personal revelation of who God is. So hopefully, we're week three in. If you've been doing your homework, you should start to have an idea of what your testimony sounds like. And as we prepare to start sharing it more and more, I want to explore what some of the barriers are that we face when it comes to sharing and talking about Jesus. And I was trying to work out where else we might feel this same sense of pause before we talk about something. And I realized maybe it's when you're out with the boys. You go into the footy, you're having a few lemonades, meat pies, you're having a good time, even though it might be raining, whatever. You're with the boys, have a good time. And you're spinning good yarns. And in the 9 o'clock service, people came up to me and said, the girls can do this too. So yes, I'm just talking from the life I know. You're out with the boys, you're having a good time, you're spinning yarns, you're telling funny jokes. And so you go home and you're an extrovert, of course, like me. You go home, you burst in the door with full of energy. You're ready to tell your wife that funny story about the time one of your mates went to the bathroom and what happened in there. And then you pause. Think, she may not find this as funny as I do. So you stop yourself and you go, yes, we had a great time, even though my team lost. Well, do you ever have the same sort of moment when you're sharing about Jesus? Maybe not exactly the same, but you get the perfect opportunity to tell somebody about him, and then you pause and you think, maybe I won't. Maybe I won't this time. Well, today we're going to find out what are those things, what enters our mind when we get to that point. What stops us from talking about Jesus? And we're going to work out the ways that we can overcome them. But before we do, I want to encourage us and remind us of the verse for this series, and that is 1 Peter 3, 15 to 16. It says, but in your hearts revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect, keeping a clear conscience, so that those who speak maliciously against your good behavior in Christ may be ashamed of their slander. So, what is it that I think stops us from giving a reason for the hope that we have? Well, I think there are three main things, and there's probably more, but these are the three that jumped out at me. And then there's also one underlying root cause, extra special one that I'm saving till the end. So, hold on, remember, there's a secret one at the end. Listen for that. But the three that I want to talk about first are doubt, fear, and shame. And we're going to look into each of these obstacles and how we can overcome them. And whilst I hope we walk away encouraged and inspired to share the good news about Jesus, I will admit up front that we're going to be dealing with some hard truths. We're going to be keeping it real. And I'm not going to apologize for that. I think it's important for us to deal with the real issues so that we can go and share the gospel as best we can. But hope that after this we're more bold, more courageous, and more inspired to share the good news of God. So, why don't we pray? Lord, thank you that you are such a great thing to follow, great person to follow. Lord, thank you that in you we have hope. In you, Lord, we find life and life to the full. And Lord, I pray that we will be great ministers for your kingdom, that we'll be great people sharing, we'll be great at sharing your good news. So Lord, I pray that we will learn how we can overcome the things that stand in our way, and we'll walk away from here inspired and courageous to share your good news. Amen. So I want to start this morning with doubt. Doubt might be something that you don't experience very often, might be something you experience all the time, but I think it can get in the way of us sharing about Jesus because it distracts us from our own faith. So we need to start to address it. We need to address our doubts so that we can go into a conversation and be really open and willing to share. What sort of doubt can stop us from sharing about God? Well, I think there are a few. We might not always trust that God is going to work things out for good in our own life. And so when we're facing that doubt, we don't want to share. We don't want to try and encourage somebody else because we're not feeling encouraged ourselves. Maybe you doubt that God can work in that exact specific scenario that somebody is telling you about, even though deep down you do know he can do it. Maybe you experience doubt because you've been praying for healing for yourself for months, years even, and yet you're still waiting. And so when you get that moment to share the good news of Jesus, in a split second, your mind pops up with a, hang on, how can you talk about the good news of Jesus, but you're still waiting to be healed? I'm sure we've all had a moment of doubt. I'm sure we all have had that challenge of, hang on, do you really believe? Right when we know we could provide a perfect verse for somebody's situation, or we can tell them about the good news of Jesus. Well, I want to encourage you that you're not alone in your doubts. In Mark chapter 9, we read Jesus, he's talking to a boy's father, and Jesus asked the boy's father, how long has he been like this? And the boy was possessed by a demon, that's the spoiler. Says, from childhood, he answered. It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. And then Jesus says, if you can, said Jesus, everything is possible for one who believes. Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. See, doubt is something we all experience. So how do we overcome it? If it's stopping us from sharing the good news, how do we overcome our doubt? Well, I have found that the key thing that we need to do is to find a core truth that we can hold on to that tells us about the nature of God and that helps us address all the other doubts we may have. So this is a great time for me to share about the God I know. The God I know is God the Creator. See, I'm very lucky and privileged to have grown up in a Christian family. I'm lucky to have generations of believers in my past, and I'm not going to apologize for that. That's my story. I love that. I'm proud of that. I get to stand on the shoulders of generations. But that doesn't mean I don't have doubts. See, when I was a teenager growing up, I used to wonder the same question everybody does. Is God real? Is God real? And I was on a Christian camp that was run through my school, which was incredible. It was a public school. That's why it was incredible. Sorry. And one of the nights, we had a worship moment, a spiritual encounter type moment, and we would sit around singing worship songs. And then after that, I was wrestling with whether God was real. And they had a prayer room set up. You could go and sit and pray. And I stayed in there for hours. This is like till 2, 3, 4 a.m. I was a teenager just reading the word. And I was like, God, are you real? Like, if I'm sticking up for you at school, if I'm going to be labeled a Christian, are you real? And so I was just reading from the beginning, reading the creation story, and God just said, yeah, Tim, I created the world. I created the universe. And it sunk in deeper than any words could ever sink in. God revealed himself to me as the creator. I remember looking out the window, seeing all the stars, and God just said, yep, I created all of that. And that was an experience that I can't intellectualize. Can't make an intellectual argument for that. I just had a personal revelation of who God was. God, the Creator. See, over time, that has been strengthened in me. I've sat on a mountainside in Nepal looking at all of God's beauty in these snow-capped mountains and just had it revealed again. God, the Creator. When I've explored and tried to identify who I am, tried to work out who I am, God just goes, hey, I'm your creator. You want to know who you are? Ask me. He's revealed himself to me as the creator. And so now I have this unshakable truth that I hold on to. Nobody can take that away from me. And so when every other question comes, I can just go back to that and go, hang on, God has an answer. Because if he created everything, he's created even these problems that I'm addressing right now. So how do we deal with our doubts? Well, we need to find our truth and then we can test the doubts that we have. We do that As we do that, we test the God that we know. So we're not testing God, but we're testing the God that we know. And eventually, it'll get refined until we know the truth about God. See, in James 1, verse 2 to 6, it says, consider it pure joy. Oh, I did this again. Verse 3. Because you know that testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. It will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. See, here James is telling us to have the faith to know that God will always have an answer, and then we can bring our doubts to him, and he will help us deal with them. And see, as we do that, in the context of sharing about Jesus, we will enter a place where we can empathize with those around us. Instead of our doubts becoming an obstacle for us sharing about God, they can actually become a strength, a connection point. When somebody says, oh, I'm just not sure, I have all these doubts, we can say, well, I have all these doubts too, but I've tested them over time against the God that I know, and I've cleared all the doubts. So why don't you join me? We can say to them, why don't you join me? Let me help you clear your doubts too, because the God that I know has an answer, and he has a hope. So if doubt is a particularly prominent obstacle to you, can I encourage you to test the God that you know, find a truth to hold on to, and clear those doubts so that you can share the good news about Jesus? And pray the words that we read earlier. Lord, I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief. So as we overcome our doubts, I think we then move into another obstacle. We start to face another obstacle that unfortunately I know that we all face, and that is fear. We face the fear that we'll be judged, the fear that we won't have all the answers to the questions that may come our way, fears that the relationship that we're with that person will change. And you know what? I get it. Even this week, as I've been preparing for this message, I've been afraid to tell people what I was doing this weekend. Like, ironic. And I want to be clear, though, I'm talking about the fears that we might face here in Canberra, not in some other part of the world where those fears can be attached to a real physical danger. But here in Canberra, I get the impression, the feeling that being a Christian isn't seen as being cool. I get the impression that there is a culture of unbelief, and that's backed up by the stats. I get an impression that there is an assumption that God has been disproven, and so it can feel like there's a fear that we'll be labeled a crazy Christian, or people will somehow think we're dumber, or have contradictory political and social beliefs. Or we get worried that the moment we start talking about Jesus, we'll be asked questions about dinosaurs, creation, transfiguration, or why the Bible talks about giants and talking donkeys. If you didn't know that, it's in there. And all of that may happen. Like, it may happen. But I have found that over time, I've never been asked a question like that. And if I am asked a question like that, or veering into that realm, it's by somebody who I've spoken to about Jesus for a lot longer than one conversation. Instead, I have found that people are much more intrigued about what I believe than judgmental about it. They don't come at me with questions designed to trip me up or judgments about me or anything like that. Instead, they come with questions to help understand me better. So in the first instance, we shouldn't fear that in general anyway, but can I challenge some of those core fears as well anyway? So if you're worried and if you're afraid of being judged for being a Christian, can I ask you, why would telling someone about your faith be any different from the rest of the way you're living? Like, if you were living a life that reflects the transformation that you have found in Jesus Christ from the inside out, wouldn't your life look different anyway? And so, why will all of a sudden they judge you more because you tell them why you live that way? Or even, You were saying that you believe in something that is the difference between life and death. That's important, correct? Well, before you even get there, they've judged you for what football team you go for, which political party you vote for, or even how you have your coffee. And I'm sorry, if you order a weak cappuccino soy with 2 squirts of caramel, I'm going to judge you. And somebody in the 9 o'clock service does order their coffee that way. So not only are we unlikely to be judged by our faith in the first place, even the risk of that happening is actually worth it. Because what you believe in is worth that judgment. It's important. And what are we afraid of anyway? Are we trying to get the approval of the people around us? Or are we trying to get the approval of God? Galatians 1 verse 10 says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So I hope that one really nails it home. Likewise, if you're worried that you're going to have an answer to every question, can I remind you that nobody has an answer to every question about life? This series we're talking about God from the place of our personal revelation. And can I just encourage you that that's not us conceding defeat, that we can't have an intellectual argument about God anymore because he's been disproven. That's not the case. Actually, there are very strong, sound, reasoned academic articles for God, arguments for God. But the reason we talk about our personal revelation is because that is something people can't take away. They can never deny. See, even every argument comes to a point where a step of faith is required. So, we've already taken that step of faith. Let's tell people about it. See, even God knows this is the case. In Isaiah 55, verse 8 to 9, it says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. See, God knows that he's the only one who has all the answers, that nobody will actually get to the bottom of it all. So let's believe in him. Can I encourage us? Let's believe in him and not be afraid or ashamed of that. See, I use my knowledge of God as the creator as my central point when somebody asks me a crazy question. I can just say, look, I may not know the exact answer right now, but I know that God has an answer because you're asking a question about creation and God created it. So let me go back and find you an answer, and it always works. It always works. And I think we also have told ourselves that our generation is the first one to really face strong arguments against God. But that is not true. Even the philosophers at the time of the New Testament argued against God. And how do I know that? Well, in 1 Corinthians 18 verse 20, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. The intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? He's been doing that for thousands of years, and he's not going to stop now. So don't fear the questions. Instead, lean on that unshakable faith that we have developed in addressing our doubts, and know that you can always find an answer in God. And so the last fear that we could face is that the relationship that we're having with that person will change. Let me ask you a direct, simple question. Is that not what you want? Like, do you not want that relationship to change? Do you not want them to become your brother or sister in Christ? Don't you want them to enter a relationship with Jesus? Don't you want to see their soul saved so that they will spend eternity with you in heaven? Like, isn't that reward so much out? Doesn't that so much outweigh the risk that they may be upset with you or reject you? Like, it's eternity we're talking about. So I say all of this to say that when it comes to sharing about Jesus, we should not be afraid. We should not be afraid because, one, we're probably afraid of nothing in the first place, And all of the fears are outweighed by the reward that comes from sharing about Jesus. We shouldn't fear being judged because that happens all the time, and at least being judged about Jesus is worthy. We shouldn't fear not having all the answers because only God has all the answers. We shouldn't fear the relationship changing because ultimately that is what we want. So if fear is the barrier for you sharing about God, can I, one, encourage you that even Peter was afraid to acknowledge the God, the Jesus that he knew. He denied him 3 times, and yet God still used him in an incredible and powerful way. And can I also encourage you to pray for boldness and courage to be able to speak the good news to those around you? Proverbs 29 verse 25 says, fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. This leads me to the last thing that I want to address that stops us from sharing about God, and that is shame. I think we can face shame about knowing that we don't live up to the standards that we are actually encouraging people to take on for themselves. We experience shame because we know all the ways that we have doubted or feared in the past. We can experience shame because when we're talking to someone who knows us really well, we know that they know where we've stuffed up. They know all the ways that God would not be proud of us. Or maybe you even feel shame to call yourself a Christian sometimes because other people who call themselves Christians have done all these different things that you don't agree with, and you know that person doesn't agree with. So you have like an institutional shame. But in either case, can I encourage you that you are not sharing about what you have done? You're not sharing about what someone else has done. You're not sharing about what the person you're talking to has done. You're not sharing about what the church has done through history. You're sharing about what Jesus has done. The power of your testimony is not found in what you have done. It's found despite. The power of your testimony is despite what you have done. It's found in what Jesus has done. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last, just as it is written, the righteous will live by faith." So this leads me to my secret, extra, special, loaded, last-minute point, end of the message point. And I think this one underlies everything else. I think fear, shame, and doubt, they got nothing to do with this one. This one's way more powerful. You ready? It's going to hit home. I think the number one thing that stops us from sharing the good news about Jesus is that we don't fully appreciate the power of the message we've been sent to send. We're not talking about the God we know in some nice, hopeful thing that wakes us up in the morning, that puts a smile on our face. No, it's not that. The God I know is not just a statement about what I believe and why I believe it. It is literally the difference between life and death. It is a message that may make the difference for the eternal soul of my family, my friends, and the people around us. We're called to spread the message about how God has saved us from eternal separation from Him. But instead, He sent His Son to die on a cross, who rose again, and now I can have eternal life with Him. From that perspective, my doubts, my fear, my shame, they're pretty pathetic reasons to not share the good news of Jesus. The good news about God is so important. It's so important. It's so powerful. 1 Peter 1 verse 3 to 5 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. this inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. The God I know is a statement. It's an avenue through which I can reveal to my friends, my family, everybody around me, the way to be saved for eternity. So all the things that may get in the way, I have to find a way to get over, overcome them, because there is too much at stake otherwise. Maybe this morning you've realized that there's too much at stake in your own life, that you want to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to commit your life to Him, because you want to experience eternal life with Him. Well, if that's you, in a moment we're going to take an opportunity for you to invite Jesus into your heart and to make Him the Lord of your life. And so how we do that here is we say a prayer all together, and I'll invite you to raise your hands. Everybody's eyes will be closed. And that's just so that we can meet with you after the service. We've got a small gift, and we just want to talk with you and pray with you and answer any questions you have. But don't let this opportunity go to waste. Jesus wants to have a relationship with you. So why don't you all join me? We'll close our eyes and repeat these words after me. Heavenly Father, I choose to believe in you. I want to follow your way. Thank you for dying for my sins. I know I'm not perfect and I need you. Come into my heart and forgive my sins. I commit my life to you. Help me to follow you always. Thanks for listening. We hope to see you in church again this weekend. To find out more about our church, find us online at c3churchwatson.com.au.